Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Aleph in Shabbos. We start today the 10th parak of Shabbos, and we're back to the topic of Otsah. It seems like we've gone through Otsah a lot throughout our Masechta, and that is accurate. That's correct. I mentioned already from the beginning of the Masechta, we're now 3 months into Shabbos, that probably the most amount of real estate that's taken place in the pages of Masechta Shabbos is the Malacha of Otsah. And I'm not confident. I'm not super confident that I'm right, but I think I'm right. And so we continue on the discussion of the Malacha of Hotza'ah, and a topic that sounds like it's going to sound like a topic that we already covered. The Gemara is going to note this as well, and that is how much you have to carry in order to be chayiv. Now, how much? That's the topic that we covered in the 7th parak of Shabbos, in the 8th parak of Shabbos, a little bit in the 9th parak of Shabbos, and now we're in the 10th parak of Shabbos. So how much? I mean, we got it. We know how much. So, a point that we also raised earlier, and that's the following. Let's say you're the kind of person, in other words, we've given a shear for everything. We've given a shear for food, and we've given a shear for non-food items. And basically, it's what is the Chachamim deemed to be a significant amount. Okay, but what if you're the type of person who you consider to be even a smaller amount to be significant? So if you're that type of person, so for you the shear is going to be a smaller shear. Okay, but that's something that we already discussed as well earlier in the Masechta. And again, the Gemara is going to raise all these points that sounds like this is a topic in which we already covered. We begin the first Mishnah of the 10th Perek, HaMatznia. HaMatznia Lezera LaDugma LaRefua. So I put something away. In other words, to me, let's call it seeds. Okay, whatever it is. Let's call it seeds. And I put it away because I want to plant them. I put it away because I want to use it as a sample, dugma. I put it away because it's medicinal. So, but in other words, it's less. It's less than the shear that we talked about. What was the shear that we talked about when it comes to seeds? So you remember, right? Very good. We remember, we just talked about this maybe just yesterday, that when it comes to seeds, take out 5 seeds and you'll be chayev. If it's cucumber seeds, 2 of them you'll be chayev. Gourd seeds, 2 of them you're going to be chayev. But over here, this particular person stored even a smaller amount than 5 or 2. In other words, for him, it was significant, so therefore he put it away even though it was less than that. So he's what's called the matznia, right? He's the hoarder. So matznia lezer l'dugma l'refuah v'otziah b'shabbos, and he takes it on Shabbos, chayev. B'chol shehu. So he's going to be chayev with any amount. Meaning once he considers it to be significant, therefore for him it's significant, therefore he's going to be chayev. So, again, an idea that we spoke about earlier, it came up in the 7th parak of Shabbos. And that's a simple idea that that for the person himself who considers it to be significant, so therefore the shear is going to be a smaller shear. V'chol adam in chayev alav el kishur. Now, as far as everyone else is concerned, you and me, who are not the hoarder, who are not the people who put it away even though it's such a small amount. So for us, it's going to be the regular shear. Now, the way Rashi understands this last line of the Mishnah goes like this. Look, let's say it was one seed, and to him it was so important, it was so valuable. In fact, he put it away, stored it. And now he decides, okay, it's time. Come time now to plant my seed. So he takes his one seed out and he's about to plant it, and then he says to himself, I'm not really that interested in planting it. I thought it was that important, but I guess it's not. And he marches it back home. So Rashi explains the last part of the Mishnah is talking about that march back home. Meaning, since at that point in time now, he has basically said, you know what, cancel that thought. I no longer consider it to be significant. So now he becomes, quote-unquote, normal. He becomes normal. Meaning that since he was mevatel his original machshava, and now since he basically has said that, in other words, on the transportation out, so he may be chayev. But on the return back home, since now basically he said, cancel that order, I'm not interested in planting it, or I don't need it anymore for the medicine. Whatever the machshava was, since he no longer considers it to be significant, therefore his machshava is going to go become like a regular person. That's how Rashi understands this last line of the Mishnah, as it will be clear and evident from the Gemara upcoming. Now, lama l'misnei hamatznia. The Gemara's first question is, hamatznia, meaning he has to store it away. Is that like a prerequisite? Meaning, to give something status and significant. So he has to be matznia? That's necessary? The Gemara says, it could have been much simpler. The Mishnah could have just simply stated, look, I'm taking something out to plant it. And I know it's one seed, and I know one seed is not normally significant, but to me it is. So why didn't the Mishnah just simply say Hamotzi? No, the Mishnah had to go over the over the case with Hamatznia. He's hiding it. He's hoarding it. Well, what is that necessary? So the Gemara explains like this. Not necessarily, but Amar Abaye. Okay, here's what happened. The case is there was a seed, and he put it in his little, treasure chest. I don't know. he stores it away, and he has something special in store for this one seed. Now, when he opens up his treasure chest, he sees the seed inside, and at that point, and I can so see myself doing this, I totally forgot why I put it inside this little chest. I forgot. Obviously, it was important to me, but now you ask me the question, why did I do that? I don't remember. And then what I do is, I take it outside. So the point of the Mishnah is that even though at the time when I'm carrying it, I don't even remember why it was so important to me, but since historically it was so important to me that I put it away in a treasure chest, so therefore, when I march it out outside, I'm going to be chayef. That is Abaye's explanation of our mission. That's the significance of Amatzniyah. And Rashi would like to augment to the Chiddush of the Gemara. And Rashi does augment to the Chiddush of the Gemara. And the reason why Rashi has to add to the Chiddush of the Gemara is simply because even when I said everything we just said, been there, done that. Meaning we know all this information already. Everything I just said is what we covered at the end of the seventh parak of Shabbos. So if you take a look at this Rashi on the bottom, the last Rashi in the Amud, so Rashi says, let's try to ratchet up the Chiddush of the of our whole discussion. The Im Tomer, meaning the last two lines of the Rashi. The Im Tomer Kfar Shana B'Klal Gadol, Kol She'enu Kashal Atzniyo Nechayev Ela Matzniyo HaMatzniyo Chayev, meaning it's, we've been there, we've done this. It's the Mishnah in the seventh parak of Shabbos. The Matzniyo, the one who hides and hoards this item, and to him it's significant, so when he takes it out, he's going to be Chayev. So Hacha B'Mayiskin, and so now Rashi says, so what's our case over here? What are we adding to the discussion? So Rashi says, the Itzderech Lemisne Kagon She'etzniyo Hay Matzniyo Lezera Oladugma, Vishachach Lama Matzio, Vashamafik Le Stam La Tautalo Mi Bias La Bias. Okay. So Rashi suggests that maybe over here what we're discussing is the following. When he put it away, he put it away not even to take out aside. Meaning he put it away just so that he could carry it from one house to another house. Meaning he never even really intended to do Hotzah with this item. Okay? At best, what he was going to do is just simply move it to another house. Now, if it's for planting, that's kind of hard to understand because what are you going to do? You're going to plant it in somebody else's house? All right, maybe. I mean, it's possible. Okay, pot. But in other words, but the point being is that I wasn't even planning on doing Hotzah with this item. I'm just giving it status because I'm putting it away. And the Chiddush of our mission, as explained by Rashi, is that even though I wasn't even planning on doing Hotzah, the mere fact that I put it away and stored it now means that to me it's significant. And now, a later point in time, when I go and take it outside on Shabbos, and even though I have no recollection, I really don't even remember why I stored it, why I put it away, I'm going to be chayev. The Gemara says, now we're on the top of Sadi Aleph Amin Aleph, Ma'u Detem, I might have thought, Betule Batla Machshavaso, that my original Machshav is Batla, because ask me why I stored it, and I can't even tell you why. I don't remember. So Kamashmal, the Chiddush now of our Mishnah is, that no, it still is going to have status, even though you can't even articulate why it is that you stored it away. Kamashmal. Kol Osa Adas Rishonu Osa, sorry, that's the end of the Gemara statement, that when I do something Al Das Rishona. Meaning that my original thought is going to carry over, even though I can't even tell you what my original thought was. It is a big Chiddush of the Gemara, but nevertheless, that is the Chiddush of the Gemara.
Somebody else who carries that as
well. Okay, good. The Gemara is going to make that point a little bit later on, but you're absolutely correct. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mechayv Haya Rabbi Meir Af Bemotzi Chita Achas Azriya. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that when Rav Meir says that you're going to be Chayev, you will be Chayev, even if it's chita achas, and you're planning on planting the chita achas. Okay. Gemara says pshita. All right, but Again, what new is being related to us? Kol shehu tanan, because when you read our Mishnah, the Mishnah reads pretty clearly. The Mishnah says, doesn't matter how much it is that you stored, even if it's a kol shehu. Now, kol shehu means any amount. So, Ma'od Detema, the Gemara says, okay, but had it not been for Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, I might have thought the following. The Havamina would have gone like this. Look, on carrying food on Shabbos, the Chiyuv Chatzis comes when you carry a grogeris. That is a dried fig. It's more than a kezias. A grogeris is the same share that you're bechayv if you eat on Yom Kippur. Meaning eating on Yom Kippur, the Torah never says don't eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah rather says, V'inisim asnash rosechem. Right? You gotta really punish yourself. You gotta make it difficult. You gotta make it challenging. So, kezias doesn't really fill you up. Kezias is a shear, but kezias doesn't fill you up. When are you fully satiated? When you eat a grogeris. My point simply being that a grogeris is more than a kezias. I might have thought when the Mishnah says kol shehu, look, I know I'm downgrading the shear, but when we say kol shehu, the Mishnah can't mean like any amount. Maybe the Mishnah means just simply kezias. Maybe it's just a kezias, meaning it's like we're tempering the chiddush of the Mishnah. We're going down, that I get, but maybe it's not all the way down. Maybe it's just a kezias. Kamash Milan, the chiddush is, no, that when the Mishnah says kol shehu, it actually means a kol shehu, any amount. So even though it's one kernel of wheat, it's a small amount, it doesn't matter. Meaning if to you it was important, therefore you give it achshivus, right? There are two terms that we could use over here. Achshavei, you considered it, and therefore it has now chashivus, and so therefore you're going to be chayv even for that small amount. Well, Gemara now wonders, let's go the other direction. Meaning, so now we said that machshava gives something status even though it's less than a shear. Does it work the other direction as well? Meaning, let's say the following. I want to transfer everything from my house to outside. Everything. Meaning, I will not be happy if one couch goes out or just a table goes out. I will only be happy if I empty out my house, so all the contents of the house now are outside. So for me now, here, right, Saras. So for me now, do I now change the parameters of the shear in the other direction? Meaning, we're talking about now minimizing the shear. Is there a chance now that you can actually maximize the shear so that when you take out one couch, you're not going to be chayiv? When you take out the couch and the table, you're not going to be chayiv. You're not going to be chayiv until everything is taken out of my house. Does achshave work in that direction? So the Gemara says, Adam apik lekule hasam baladaita otzakol adam. The Gemara's answer is no, you're a lunatic. Meaning, basically, the Gemara's response is, baladaita otzakol adam. That might be your machshava, but good. You're really unique. You're an individual. And that's right. You're really off the reservation of what's considered normal thinking, which then led me to think. But wait a second, what does that say for the guy who thought about planting one seed? Is he a lunatic? So, and if he is, so then how come for him he could change the shear with his machshava? So Tosus is kind of bothered by this question. Take a look at that top Tosus on the Amud, where it basically bothers him. How come we don't say Baila Daita Machshavaso when we're trying to minimize the shear? So without going through the entire Tosus, and look at the last lines of this Tosfos. Right, last two lines of Tosfos. So Tosfos basically says no, because chita achas, to plant one kernel of wheat, there are people out there. Meaning basically we have a spectrum, right? A range, so to say, of what's normal, what's totally abnormal, and like what's something that's, you know, there's flexibility. So totally normal is all the shiurim that we've been discussing. Five seeds, right, cucumber, two seeds. That's, quote unquote, that's normative practice. So we'll put that, in other words, for those of you who speak standard deviation, we'll put that like right in the middle. And then in terms of like outliers, like total outliers, like greater than two standard deviations, right? For those of you who speak statistics. So like total outliers is going to be the person who says, I won't be happy until I remove everything out of my house. Meaning he's totally off the reservation. Right, he's way out there. And then there's the chita achas. Chita achas, I'm just going to give him a mashal. You're not within one standard deviation of what's normal, but let's say you're within two. Meaning you're not totally, you're not crazy, but you're not normal. So for that individual, so for him, he needs a special machshava. But once he has a special machshava, that machshava works because he's not totally off the reservation. But for the person who says, I won't be happy until I take out my whole house, he's such an outlier that for him, even a machshava will not change the shear.
It comes to objective. I'm going to take my couch.
Yeah.
I'll take out the pillow.
But presumably the pillow has enough status that your machshava won't change that.
You made between the whole house.
I know, right? The Gemara does good, is extreme. I agree with you. The Gemara is extreme in the example of everything from my house. Okay. V'chol adam in chayavin alav ela kishura masis in delo k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, I haven't been keeping score. I think this is the third time now the Gemara makes this point. D'tanya klam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar kol sheinu kash la'atzniu ve'matzniu kamo v'huch shel hazeh v'itzniu va'achav ha'otzniu nizchayv zeh b'machshavaso shel zeh. The very unique position of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, where I can borrow somebody else's machshava. Right, Danny, this is the point you were making a little bit earlier. So he says I can. Meaning if somebody stores something and I go into his house and I carry it out, even though I wasn't the one who stored it, but Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, I'm going to be chayav based on his considering it to be significant. I didn't consider it to be significant, but he did. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, I could borrow somebody else's machshava in order so that I will be chayav. How does that work in Svara? I'm not sure. That's Chefta Gavra. Okay, something like that. Whatever the case is, point being is that our Mishnah does not hold like that because our Mishnah is very clear when it says the matznio, the person who he himself carries it. Amrav Nachman Hotzika Grogris Lachila Venim Lachala Halizria Inam Lizria Venim Lachala Lachila Chayef. Okay, and now the Gemara is going to spend the rest of this Amud going along lines of questioning of basically how far are we going to take this idea of a change of machshava. So we'll start the question. We'll start the line of questioning in the following direction. Let's say hotzi grogris lachila. Okay, so I'm taking out a full grogris. Okay, so that's a shear. Okay, and I plan on eating it. Okay, so in other words, good. And when I say good, I mean you are going to be chayav chatas because you have now done exactly what you're not supposed to do. You took a grogris of food outside on Shabbos from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Arabim with the intent of eating it. However, nimlach alel Israel. But somewhere along the way, you change your mind. You know what? Why would I want to eat it now? I'll do something better. I'll invest it. I'll plant it. And by planting it, I'll have even more. So, and I changed my mind. Now, remember, for planting, you don't even need a grogris. Meaning, you need only five seeds, two seeds. So, inami lizriya v'nimachala l'achila. Or let's do it the other way. Where my original intent when taking it out, and again, I took out a full grogris. My original intent was to plant it. And then I decided, you know what, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat it. So I have a change of machshava. But are these really significant changes of machshava? Not really. Because, yes, it's true that what you plan on doing with it is different, but either way, you have now taken out a full shear. Chayev, you're going to be chayev. Pshita zohachi kashura v'zohachi kashura. And the Gemara says now, it's pretty obvious because either way you have a shear. So ma'u detema b'ina nakir v'anach b'chara machshava v'haleka kamashmolan. Gemara says, it is a chiddush. Because I might have thought that in order to be chayev, you need a singular machshava. Meaning I need a singular intent. Either pick it up to take it out to eat it, or pick it up, take it out to plant it, but I can't change my intent. Even though the change of intent doesn't change the shear, even though I'm still carrying an amount that would incur a liability, but maybe, this is the Gemara's Havamina, maybe the change of intent would excuse me from liability. All right, by Rava. So good. So that one was easy. And now each one of these questions now going to progressively get more and more difficult. Hotzi chazik rogros lazria v'tavcha v'nimach aleha la'achila. Let's say I take out a chazik rogros and I plan on planting it. Okay? Now, at that point in time, you're going to be chayiv because you only need to take out 5 seeds. And let's assume in this line of questioning that your chatzi grogris has 5 seeds in it. And I plan on planting it. And then what happens is it inflates. Now, I'm not talking about inflation. I'm talking about it actually gets bigger. It expands. Now, these shiurim of grogris and kezais, these are volume shiurim. These are not weight shiurim. So in other words, because now it expanded, and not only did it expand, it doubled in size. So now it's the size of a grogris. And now I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I got a full grogris over here. This is an exciting day. You know what? I changed my mind. I'm not going to plant it. I'm going to eat it. So halfway now between him picking it up from the Rishus HaYachin and now depositing in the Rishus HaRabim, it changes in volume, and the person carrying it changes his mind. Mahu. What's it? What's the halacha over here? Imtim salam razim and demechayev dezil hachi kashure vizil hachi kashure. Previously, we were asking the question when he changed his mind, but the shear didn't change. Hacha, but over here, came into being a dafka lo have a beshir achila lo mechayev. But over here, let's think about this. When I originally picked it up and took it out of my house, it was a chatzi grogris. If I would have said, at that point, I plan on eating it, well, the shear achila is a grogris. And you don't have a grogris in your hand. So, if the machshav of achila would have been from the origin, from the point of me picking it up, I wouldn't have been chayev. It's only because when I picked it up, I said I'm going to be planting it. And then halfway, as I now step outside, it now expands, and I'm thinking to myself, oh good, I'm going to eat it now, but only because now it has the shear, the requisite shear of a grogris.
It expanded after he went into the Rishus.
Well, I'm not sure if it's super important when exactly it expanded, meaning, because remember, the two critical points of carrying is Akira and Hanacha, the point where you pick it up and the point where you put it down. So somewhere between them it expanded. Right, the Gemara doesn't, I'm not sure, I'll say it like this, I'm not sure if it makes all the difference in the world when precisely it expanded. Odilma came into Ilu Ishtik v'lo chashev aleha mechayev ha-machshav ha-dizriya ha-shtanam im-mechayev. The Gemara says, or maybe what you can argue over here is that, look, when I picked it up, I had a machshav of Zriya, which for Zriya, this is enough. So therefore, I'm going to be chayev. And when it expands, I now change my mind. But fine, when I change my mind, it had the shear of achila. So maybe you're going to be chayev. The intim salam came the ilu ishtik v'lo chashev aleha mechayev ha-machshav ha-dizriya. And look, and the argument can be further advanced that had I not said anything, had I remained silent, would I still be chayev? Absolutely. Because my original plan was to plant it. And now, it's even double the amount. I for sure would have been chayev had I not said anything. So now the Gemara says, let's go now in the other direction. So now, again, each one of these questions is going to get progressively more difficult and more challenging. Hashanam imichayev hotzi begrogris la'achil of itzamka. So now let's do it this way. When I originally picked it up, it was the size of a grogris. And when I originally picked it up, my intent was, I'm going to take it outside and I'm going to eat it. Okay, so that now, we're good. Meaning my intent is achila, the shear is a grogris, we're cooking. And now, as I'm walking outside, it shrinks. And now the volume of this item is less than a grogris. Let's call it a half a grogris. And now as I'm looking at the item now shrunk into a half a grogris, I'm going to say to myself, you know, what's the point of eating it? It's not really going to fill me up. You know what? I'll plant it. So, v'nim l'chalel l'zriya, mahu. What would the halacha be over here? Now, why is this more challenging than the previous question? Because over here, had you not changed your mind, you would have not incurred a liability. Because liability for eating something is only when it's the shear of a grogris. And over here now, halfway, as I'm now arriving at my destination, and now shrunk inside, so when I put it down, I'm not putting down the shear of a grogris, so I wouldn't be chayev. It's only because I changed my mind, where now, I'm now thinking I'm going to plant it, have I now changed my mind to a machshava that would incur a liability. So the Gemara now wonders, are you going to be chayev? Mahu. Because had I not changed my mind, I wouldn't have been chayev. Or did we say no? Look, bottom line is, I did change my mind. I changed my mind to something that would incur a liability, so I would be chayev. The intim salomer basta hashta azlina, and the Gemara says, and let's even say that we're going to go with what you're thinking right now. Umechayev. Hotzi kegrogris lachila, vitsamka vichazra vitafcha. Let's go over the following scenario, and the last of these inquiries. Let's say when I take it out of my house, I pick it up, it's the size of a grogris. Okay? And I start walking outside, and it shrinks. And it shrunk now to a half a grogris. And then, as I finish my trek, it now expands once again. And now, as I put it down, it's the shear of a grogris. And the Gemara now wants to know, "Kegrogris la'achila v'tzamka v'chazu v'tafcha mahu yesh dichui le'inyan Shabbos and dichui le'inyan Shabbos." Okay, an ingenious way of expressing it: is there something? Is there dichui? Right? Sports analogy time. Okay, terrible sports analogy time. But in other words, in the NFL, okay, I don't know for those of you who follow sports, but for those of you who do, if you're in the NFL, okay, if you're a receiver and you step outside of the end zone, so you can't come in order to catch a ball, okay, you're an ineligible receiver. You're enjoying this, right?
I like it.
Okay, thank you. So so here too as well, meaning the Lahavdil, of course, but here too as well, in order to understand, meaning basically what happened is that you took out a shear. And then somewhere along the track, as you were going from the Rishus Yachid to Rishus Arabim, it shrinks now in size. So now it's ineligible. Can it become eligible after having become ineligible? So this is exactly the Gemara's question. Is in the way the Gemara phrases it, is there dichui? Meaning once something becomes of an ineligible nature, in this case, it's smaller than the requisite amount that the Torah prescribes in order for you to be chayav, now that it expanded again, for whatever reason, in other words, the reality over here is not the important part. It's the point that the Gemara is trying to make, in terms of eligibility. Once it now becomes ineligible, can it then become eligible once again? Now again, by Hotzah and Shabbos, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, the critical points are the Akira and the Hanacha. At the time of the Akira, it was a shear. At the time of the Hanacha, it was a shear. So the fact that during that interim period, now obviously that interim period is important because the only way we're getting from point A to point B is going somewhere in between. But during that interim period, it becomes ineligible. So is that significant or is that not significant? The Gemara leaves off teiku, meaning that's a reasonable question, and one the Gemara says, I don't know the answer to. The Gemara continues, by mine Rava Mirav Nachman Zarek Kizai's Trumala base Tame. Mahu. Okay. Now, really to understand this question, let me just go over some basic background information.
Before
yeah.
When someone picks up something and it loses its importance, it's not fine.
If
you accept something that's
right.
Significant and then it loses its significance.
It loses its significance, so it's not going to be chayav. Meaning if the case were very simply it just shrunk in size. Mm-hmm. I pick up food in order to carry on Shabbos. It was the size of a grogris. And then what happens is I go outside and it shrinks. And right as I put it down, right before I put it down it shrinks, and now I'm putting down a half a grogris. Not going to be chayav. Because in order to be chayav, it has to be a shear, and the shear has to be throughout, from the Akira to the Hanacha.
It has to be changed in the physical thing itself, or it could be in my mind also. It's not.
No, in other words, you're
interested in it.
If you lose interest in it, so we go back to what we discussed earlier. If it's a standard shear, like anything that we mentioned in the last two prakim, three prakim, so then your mind is not going to change anything. If it's a unique shear to you, so then your intent is going to be significant. Okay, to understand this next couple lines of Gemara, so just know the following. Food is susceptible to Tumah, but only when you have a certain amount of food. How much food do you need in order for susceptibility for Tumah? So the amount of food that you need is a kibetza. A kibetza food. Now, to be honest and to be fair, there is a further disagreement amongst the Rishonim, and if you want, Tosfos right here in our daf talks about it, whether or not food is susceptible to Tumah, both in terms of its receiving of Tumah and its transfer, its communication of Tumah to something else. Does it need to be a kibetza in order to be mekabel tuma? Or does it need a kibetza only to make something else, another food tame? That is a machlokas. Rashi and Tosos talk about it. And you can see Tosos right over here. But for our purposes right now, and just to keep the discussion somewhat simpler, let's just assume that in order for food to be mekabel tuma, it needs the size of a kibetza. Now, Balmine Rava Merav Nachman Zarak Kezayis Truma Lebeis Tame. So what I do is I take a Kezayis of Truma and I throw it into a house which has a dead body in the house, a corpse in the house. Now, as we all know, once there's a mace in the house, so the entire house now is going to become Tame. Not the house itself. The house itself is grounded. All the contents in the house is going to become tummy, and anything in the house is going to become tummy as well. Now, I take a kezayis of truma, and I throw it into the house that's tummy. Now, does it have to be that we're talking about truma over here? Not necessarily. But the point being as follows. Are you going to be chayif if I took that kezayis of food and threw it into the house which is tummy? Now, the Gemara says, "Ma'al lamai ialing in Shabbos kegrogeres beina." Now, what are we talking about? If we're talking about the malach of hotzah, you need a grogeres, okay? And a grogeres is more than a kezayis, so can't be that we're talking about hotzah. And ealing in tuma kebetsa ochlin beinan. And as far as tuma is concerned, again, you need more. You need the size of a kebetsa, the volume of an egg, in order for food to become tame. So, le'olam le'inyan Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no. Well, let's go back to our original premise. We're talking about the malacha of Hotzah. U'kegon di'ika pachos mikabetza ochlem. V'hai mashlimo lebetza. And here's what happened. There was already food in the house. And what I did is I threw in an amount of food that was mashlim. It completed so that the totality of food now in the house combined. It combines to make the shear of a kibetza.
That kind of food?
Let's assume. I'm not sure if that's so significant. Mahu. Mi de mitzdarif le'inyan tuma mechayev nami le'inyan Shabbos odilma kol le'inyan Shabbos kegrogeres b'inan. And the Gemara's question basically goes like this. So you know what? It is less than the shear. Meaning, again, the transportation of food on Shabbos is only going to incur a penalty only when you transfer a kegrogeres. But over here, the mitigating factor that we all need to consider is that it did trigger off another isser, another halacha. In that now, this food that I threw into the house, despite the fact that it's less than the size of a kegrogeres, will trigger off, in other words, will combine with the food that's already in the house, so that now the totality of the shear is a kibetza. So now, since it triggered off tumah, maybe I'll argue it has significance. It's halachically significant, and so that now I would be chayiv on the hotzah as well as Shabbos. It's kind of like what we discussed in the beginning of today's shear, where we talked about the person who gave something significance because he was matznia it, and therefore he gives it status even though it's less than the shear. Here too, because you are mitame the food, now that it hits the shear of a kibetza, so maybe in terms of vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos and carrying on Shabbos, it also will be significant in terms of carrying on Shabbos as well. Oh, Dilma, calling you Shabbos kegrogeres beinan.
Do you end up carrying everything with the additional combination, or what are you carrying?
In this particular case, you threw it. And by the way, Tosos on the next Amud talks about why specifically we're talking about throwing. But again, just to keep our discussion simplified, you threw it, which is also a malacha as well. In other words, carrying doesn't necessarily mean you have to lift it up and carry. If I throw something from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Harabim, you're going to be chayiv as well. And here I'm with the other direction. I threw something from Rishos Harabim to Rishos Yachid.
Why is it talking about truma?
Agreed. Meaning truma is not a...
anything, huh?
Correct. And you can argue that... whatever. Okay.
Truma has a
chumra. Yeah, okay.
Is it prohibition?
Yeah, okay. We cannot allow to make it, Tommy. Okay, fine. Anyway, so namely in Shabbos, so dema calling in Shabbos, kagorgos benin amalei tenisul. So to that, the Gemara basically says, got it. Handled this one already. Avashalom or shtei alechem lechem upon him shir kagorgos shtei alechem lechem upon him. If I transfer the shtei alechem with the lechem upon him on Shabbos, I'm going to be chayav. Now the shtei alechem, the two loaves of bread that are brought on Shavuos, the lechem upon him, the 12 loaves of bread that are held in the Heichal, baked on Friday, placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos, the old lechem is taken out, eaten by the Kohanim, it's Kodesh HaKadoshim, it can only be eaten inside the Azara. And so now think about it, what just happened over here? Some Kohen, he was derelict, some Kohen took the lechem upon him and walked outside the Azara with the lechem upon him. I mean, it's got to be. I mean, we're talking about transfer on Shabbos. So this derelict Kohen took the lechem upon him outside. Well, it's puzzle, correct. And the psul is specifically that of Yotzei. Now let's remember, this takes us back to our days of Kachim. How much bread do you need to carry in order for it to be disqualified? The shear is going to be a kezias. So the Gemara now notes that the shtei alechem and the lechem upon him shiurim kegrogeris, that the shear of otzah is going to be that of a grogeris. Ve'amai, and the Gemara now wonders, lema midele inyan yotzei bekezias linyan Shabbos nami bekezias. I'm wondering, says the Gemara, look, you are going to trigger off the psul, the disqualification of Yotzei. And that trigger is with a kezias. So now, can't you make a simple argument that since you're triggering off the psul Yotzei, shouldn't you also, doesn't that now give it status? Doesn't that make it chashuv? Shouldn't you be chayav for carrying this food, this bread, this lechem upon him, even though it's less than a grogris? So Shabbos Nami b'chazayis. And so the fact that it's not true, the fact that you're only going to be chayiv if you take out a grogris indicates to us that even though you may be triggering off other isurim, a grogris is a grogris is a grogris. Meaning that's a standardized objective shear vis-a-vis carrying on Shabbos, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv if you carry any less than a grogris, even though you may be triggering off other isurim, doesn't matter. So here too, when it comes to throwing the food into the house, it's simply not going to matter.
That's significant for him personally. It's an
outside. But in other words, right. And the point the Gemara is making is that even though halachically it's significant, but vis-a-vis carrying on Shabbos, it only will be significant when you take out the shear of a grogeris. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. Now, Gemara says, look, it's a good argument, but it's still not a precise comparison. Why? If so, lei biyotzei, as Shabbos lo mechayev, adamapik lei l'rishos harabim. The Gemara says, look, these events, these triggering events, are not happening concurrently. Because in order for the lechem upon it to be disqualified, all needs to be done is taken outside the Azara. Now, right, remember the Azara? Oh, good. Here we go. So this area over here, right, the pink area inside, that's the Azara. This area is the Ezras Nashim, that's not the Azara. It's called the Ezras Nashim, it's not the Azara. So in other words, if a Kohen, a derelict Kohen, were to take the lechem upon him and just simply move it from here to here, he has disqualified the lechem upon him. That lechem upon him cannot be eaten. Has he violated Shabbos?
No.
He has not violated Shabbos. Because when he goes from here to here, he's transferring from one Rosh Hashiachid to another Rosh Hashiachid. Ezra's Nashim has a wall around it. It's another Rosh Hashiachid. And Rashi does point out, by the way, that even if he were to go out the north or the south side, he also would not be in violation of Shabbos because there is a wall around the Azara. So once again, he's going from one walled area to another walled area. That's Rosh Hashiachid to another Rosh Hashiachid. You only got to, in order to violate Shabbos, you got to go out. In other words, you got to get out to Har HaBayis, which will not take place until later on. So the point being is that these triggers of Psul Yotzei and Hotzav Shabbos are not occurring concurrently, and that's why he won't be chayv on the Hotzah. Here, however, when he throws a food into the house, both the Tumah and the Hotzah are happening concurrently. And by the way, that's what... Very good. You got it right on the head. And that's what Tosfos says. That's why the case has to be specific to Zorek. Because we want these... We want the events to happen concurrently. And that's why specifically concurrently. If I carried it, you may argue that it may not be happening concurrently. The item will become Tamei even before... Okay.
Okay,
so the Gemara says it's not a good comparison. The Gemara now talks about the last line of the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah says that if I bring it back in, so again, our Mishnah was talking about the person who really didn't care for it anymore, meaning he was walking outside to plant, and then he said, No, I don't want to plant anymore. So once he walks it back in, he's not going to be chayv because it doesn't have the requisite shear, and basically he canceled his machshava. The Gemara says it's not so obvious because maybe the case in our Mishnah is the following. He took the seed, he threw it back into a storehouse. Okay? And he knows exactly where it landed. Maybe the argument you could have made is that, yeah, he didn't plant it, but because he threw it back into a storehouse and he knows where it landed, so maybe his original machshava should maintain, which means that the item is still significant, which means that he has a liability for taking out and for bringing it back in again. The Gemara says, yeah, but no, even still, the fact that he threw it back into a storehouse is an indication that to him it's no longer significant. He just kind of threw it, he chucked it. And so therefore, it's a bittul of his original machshava, and he will not be chayv in bringing it back in again. Okay. We start now the next Mishnah. You know those old houses where I have a house, and then you have the porch right outside the house, and then you have the street, or the street in front of the porch. This is the eskufa, it's like a threshold, right, between the street and your house. Now, this threshold could be a reshus harabim, it could be a reshus yachid, and of course could be none of the above, or what we'll call a karmelus. Okay? If the threshold's dimensions are 4x4 tfachim and 10 tfachim high, so then it's a reshus yachid. If the eskufa is, for our purposes, let's say 9 tfachim, exactly 9 tfachim, then it could be Rishos HaRabim. Remember, we talked about this much earlier in the Masechta, where if I have part of the Rishos HaRabim that's exactly 9 tfachim high, kind of like this table over here, I'm not sure if this table would be a good example, but then as I'm walking through the Rishos HaRabim, and I need to shift what I'm having on my back from my left shoulder to my right shoulder, give my left shoulder a break, so I'll put it down on the table, I'll then move it over to my right side. The table becomes part of the Rishus HaRabim. Its use is for the public. And then it could be none of the above, meaning the threshold is somewhere between 3 to 9 tfachim, and it's 4x4. It's an area of at least 4x4. So then the threshold could be a karmelus. So my options of what this threshold could be are threefold. It could either A, be Rishus HaYachid, B, be Rishus HaRabim, or C, be a karmelus. Well, by process of elimination, right, and this is how we did our multiple choice tests, by process of elimination, I know it can't be A, can't be B, therefore it has to be C. Why do I know that? Because look at what the Mishnah taught us. If I take something out of the house and I put it on the threshold, whether I pick it up and take it outside, or whether somebody else picks it up and take it outside, the Mishnah says you're going to be potter. Everybody's going to be potter. It's got to be a karmelus. And all I'm doing right now is basically taking you through the thought process of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to make all these points. If the threshold is the Rishos HaYachid, so the person who picks it up from the Yiskufa and takes it out to the street is going to be Chayiv. If the threshold is the Rishos HaRabim, so the person who brought it from the house onto the threshold, he's going to be Chayiv. The fact that the Mishnah says that everybody's Pater means that this particular threshold has got to be C, it's got to be a karmelus. Absolutely prohibited, but you're not going to be chayv. We're talking about just simply incurring a chiyuv chatas, and the Mishnah just simply says, Potter. You're exempt from a carbon. The Mishnah's point over here is that simply that you're not chayv a carbon chatas, it's still going to be forbidden this activity. Absolutely. Kupa shehi malea peros. And then the Mishnah talks about our kupa. And it's filled with fruit. And you put it on the threshold. You're not going to be chayv until the entire kupa is off the threshold. Okay? I'll come back. I'll explain that case a lot better in just a couple minutes from now. But right now, let's just deal with our first case of the Mishnah. Hai iskufa mai. The threshold, what is it, asks the Gemara. Ilim iskufa rishos harabim. Pater hakamafik rishos yachid l'rishos harabim. El iskufa rishos yachid ben shechaz avotzim ben shechaz yin acher pater. Hakamafik rishos yachid l'rishos harabim. Essentially, the Gemara made all the arguments that we made back in the Mishnah. This threshold can't be rishos yachid, it can't be rishos harabim. Ella iskufa karmelis. Must be that the iskufa is a karmelis. Vakamash malan taima denach bekarmelis. Halo nach bekarmelis mechayev. And then the Mishnah is making a very important point, which is the following. I went from my house to the street. Now I stopped on the iskufa and I put it down on the iskufa. And because the iskufa is a karmelis, it's not a rishus yach, it's not a rishus rabim, so therefore there's no carbon liability. But what the Mishnah is also saying, it's not saying it, but it is saying it, is that if I didn't stop on the iskufa and I continued and I walked from my house to the street, and I had to step over the iskufa, obviously, in order to do so, I'm going to be chayev. Now, here's the argument we could have made. It was not a non-stop flight. In other words, this flight included, right, a stopover. Well, in other words, I didn't physically stop. But in other words, I went through an area that doesn't have Shabbos liability. The argument you could have made is that karmelis breaks up the travel from my house to the street. And by the Mishnah saying that if I physically stopped and put the item down in the iskufa, that breaks up the transfer. But if I didn't stop and I went from my house to the street, even though it required me to go over the iskufa, I'm still going to be chayev. That is a significant chiddush that we're learning from our Mishnah. So halonach becomes mechayev masisin delo. Sorry, denach ne becomes halonach becomes mechayev masisin lo kebenaza. And you know what? Then, if that's correct, which the Gemara assumes it is, then our Mishnah is not going like benaza. Detanya motzi mechanus lepatcha derech stav. If I go out from the market, from the store, the store is a rishus yachid, and I go out to a paltaya is a rishus rabbin. It's a public area, and I go derech stav. And I walked through the benches, right? The benches back then were called stav or itztaba, right? Same word, says Rashi. So so I'm going to be chayev, even though the stav is a karmelis area. You're going to be chayev. Ben Azai poter, and Ben Azai says you're going to be pater. Do you know why Ben Azai says you're going to be pater? This is interesting. Ben Azai is of the opinion that every step you take is a new hanacha. When I put my foot down, that's a hanacha. When I lift my foot up and take my next step, that's an akira. Every step is mahalech, is, okay. I whiffed on the lashon of the Gemara, but every new step you take is a new akira. Every step down you take is a new hanacha. And so therefore, according to Ben Azai, you can imagine that when you step from your house out into the street and there's a karmelis area in the middle, the moment I step, I put my foot down on the karmelis, that's a hanacha. The moment now I step from the karmelis into the street, that's a new akira. So therefore, for Ben Azai, there is no way that the person can be chayv even as he's walking.
But the thing is, right, because even when you're chayv to be chayv, I said you are not doing 4 amot, you're only doing one step.
So if I can provide you, right, agreed. If I can provide you a brain teaser for the day, according to Ben Azai, how is a person going to be chayev for carrying 4 amos in a rishos harabim? Right. So number right. That's absolutely correct. You've been here. You've done this. So number one, he throws it, and number two, right? He jumps. Right. Wow. He's got. It's a nice jump. It's an 8-foot jump. Sure. and today we'll start this next sugya. This next sugya continues into tomorrow's daf, but let's start it. Okay, this is a bit of a complex sugya, but basically the following. Ben, if you don't mind, I'm going to use your talis bag as an example. Okay, this talis bag of Ben has in it a number of items. Okay, it's got a tefillin. I'm not really sure what that is over there. Doesn't matter. Okay, not important. Okay, it's okay. It's fine. All for the purpose of illustration. And here we go now. And this is our Mishnah. This is our Mishnah's Kupa Malaya Peiros. It's filled with fruit. And now for me to be chayv, I'm going to take this item and I'm going to transfer it. So assume my desk, of course, is the Rishus HaYachin. Alex's desk over here is going to be the Rishus HaRabim. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it out. But here now, what I've done is I kind of rested it on the border. Now, some of the items actually crossed over to his side. Some of the items, however, maintained on my side. But it's all in the basket. And now the question over here is it's really an incredible question. How do we view that basket as one single entity? Is this basket now a unit or no? Do we look at it as just simply a container that holds things, but when ultimately, when all said and done, the tefillin has now made it from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim? This item over here, whatever it is, did not make it. How do we view that basket? That is essentially going to be our discussion. We'll start it today, and we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. Chizkiah says, no. Chizkiah says, our Mishnah is talking about cucumbers. Cucumbers meaning, okay, for creativity purposes, let's call my tie the cucumber of the day. The basket, that's obviously why I'm not wearing it. The basket over here is holding cucumbers, and specifically in the way that I'm designing right now, where it's because lengthwise, so that now, even as I place the basket down over here, some part of the cucumber has not made it to the other side, and that's why our Mishnah says you're going to be putter. But if our basket was filled with seeds or any small item, those small items have made it to the other side, and therefore, says Chizkiah, you're going to be chayav. So, and how does Chizkiah view the basket? You know how Chizkiah views the basket? He doesn't. It's insignificant. I don't look at the basket, I look at the contents of the basket. Rav Yochanan Amar, I feel a Malaya Chardal Potter. And Rav Yochanan says, no, even if the basket was filled with mustard seeds, if the basket has not made it fully across the demarcating line, so he's going to be Potter. Amakas Avregit Kli Shmei Eged. And it comes out that according to Rav Yochanan, Eged Kli, the bundling of the Kli, Shmei Eged. It now unifies everything inside over here. It's a singular unit. Okay, so you know what? We will stop right here. Tomorrow we're going to pick up from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is supporting Chizkiah, supporting Rav Yochanan. That will be the first part of tomorrow's discussion. And we'll conclude with whether or not a Kli unifies or a Kli does not unify.